Welcome to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. Today we've got an amazing message of hope and healing just for you. God's word never returns to him void, so let this message sink deep into your heart so that you can walk out your complete healing journey today.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? How are you healed, set free, free? Did I say free? I'm going to say free again. Free people. You know, what's funny is that that actually is the name of a clothing line, and it's Free People. But do they even know how free they really are? I was just on a plane, and because I listened to the teachings. I mean, my God, they're amazing. Why wouldn't we listen to all of our teachings? It would make no sense if we didn't. We all are learning, right? Anyway, I mean, we all are together and we're learning from each other. Man, revelation that we all get. It's like, why would it be good for you but not good for us? Of course it's good for us. But I was listening to, what I love is when I go like on long trips, like this was a 6-hour flight, I got to listen to everybody from Herman Raquel to Mike Hesh to Nicole, Nikki, well, you know, everybody. Cindy, yeah, I listened to Cindy on the way there. And then, and then Allison, because, man, I wish I would have had that kind of information, that kind of revelation at that age. But we can't go back. But I got it now. And I'm still learning. And that's what I love about all of us here. We are still learning. We are still being taught. The Lord is still teaching all of us about his goodness, about his, not just, you know, we do tend to just like literally go after the healing, but we can't forget about the healer, because there is no healing if we don't have the healer. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. You know, we don't have the healing if we don't know the healer. I mean, yeah, we could get like symptoms to go away for a minute, but man, don't you want to have the healer in your life every single day? The healer being Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the healer. And, there's other people. See, this is where, this is not what my teaching is going to be about today. But there's so many people that have a problem with going to the doctor. We have so many people that are having a problem with, you know, medication that you might be on. It's like your faith is not in the doctor or the medication. Your faith is in the Lord. And the Lord knows how you need to go about what you need to do. Why? Because he knows you better than you. So he knows what you're going to be able to stand on. He knows what you're going to be able to fight through. He knows all of that. So when people say like, you know, well, you know, the Lord told me to do this or that, then do it. If God told you to do it, why would you not do it? I wanted to show you this. It's funny because I had this in my refrigerator, and this is it's called Evolution, first of all. But anyway, it's an organic green devotion, right? And there's like celery, cucumber, spinach, romaine, kale, lemon, parsley, all these things in it that promote health, right? Not saying that those things don't. But see, my faith, for many years, my faith was in this. That's the truth. My faith was in that. My faith was in how many green juices can I drink a day to just, you know, flush out, wash out all the bad that was on the inside of me, all the things that were, you know, making my body hurt so bad, and the migraines and the headaches, and or migraine and headache. Yeah, they're two different things. But I was going after, my faith was in this. See, my faith should not have been in this. But see, we believe that this is what promotes health, right? Is all the green stuff. And I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm not saying that it's not healthy for you. But you know what's more healthy for you? Is a life that we can lead through the word of God, where we can get to a place where we will not allow fear to rule our lives, to wreak havoc on our bodies. You see, that is something that's really, I think that the body of Christ is now experiencing that more than we've ever had before. Well, if you look at the world around us, there's every, you know, God, don't even watch the news. If you do, it's going to scare you. There's so much in the news that looks so gloomy and doomy and, you know, like, how is this ever going to change? Well, yeah, in the news, it does. It can't change. If it changes, then it's not news, right? So that's why we've got to make sure that, you know, I'm not condemning you for watching the news, but what I am telling you to do is if you're watching the news, please put this word in you more powerful and stronger than what you would be putting into the news on your television set or your screen or your phone or your iPad, you know, whatever it is, because this word has got to prevail. This word has got to be first. Otherwise, the stuff that's happening in the world will scare you. And that's what it's meant to do. Right now, everybody gets scared. Now you've got to go on anti-anxiety medication, right? That stuff is like hardcore, not good for you. And now here we are. It's like, then you're like going, all of a sudden one day you go, wait, how did I get here? How did I get here? I don't want to be here. So anyway, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's like when people hurt us and we've had so many, trust me, there's every reason to be hurt. There's a lot of evil out there, a lot of bad people that just hurt people. Like, you know, the old saying, hurt people, well, it is true. They do. I'm not saying they don't, because they do, and it's awful. But we also have a part to play in this. We have a choice. We're either going to let them take up space and room in our heart negatively, yeah. Or we're going to release them and forgive them, because there's no other way. I'm not saying that you have to be best friends with them. Okay, like for instance, let's say there is a situation where there was rape, and that is horrible and horrific. But as long as you live in that moment of when that happened and all of that unforgiveness, you are never going to get past it. You are never going to get past it. And it's going to fester, and it's going to destroy the root of truth on the inside of you, because it's going to be louder. And it's going to be heavier, and it's going to be stinkier, and it's going to be more disgusting than anything you've ever experienced before. And that will overpower the love of Jesus that is shed abroad in your heart. So today, that's why I titled it, How Deep Is His Love? Do you remember the song? I forget who sang. Oh, the Bee Gees. How deep is your love? That song. See, remember, I can't sing. That's where the Lord gave me this morning when I was getting ready. It's how deep is my love for you? How deep is it? Well, that's what brings us to the parable of the sower, which, man, we're going to keep going on this, because this is a really good, this is a really, really powerful teaching. And so I want to teach from Mark first. So get your Bible. Don't just get your brain, get your Bible. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Okay. And also too, it says the parable of the sower, you know, that Jesus, this was not, excuse me. I think it should be called the parable of the soil, because this really is, it's not about this. I mean, yes, the seed that is sown, but the whole story here is about what kind of ground the seed got put into. So anyway, so this is Mark 4:1. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. You know, this is really cool, because we got to go to the Sea of Galilee in Israel. I'm sure maybe some of you've gone too. And wow, just to see that, just to like feel like you can reenact it with your own brain. And the whole multitude that was on the land, sorry, the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Actually, we went to this place on a tour that we went to, and we sat on the shore, And that's where, and we were on the land right there, and we were facing the water. And so the tour guide was saying, now just picture Jesus in the boat right in front of you. It was like, oh, how amazing. Oh my gosh, it was awesome. So I can't wait to go back. I love Israel. So, and then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, exclamation mark, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Okay, so that was just thrown. Nothing took root. Nothing took root. Like, nothing took root. Seriously. Like, if we want to, let me go look up this word. I thought I had it here. I don't think I do. Let's see. I'm going to go to my old dictionary.com, which is the best. And let's see. Yes, it says, did you mean? Yes, I did. The side of the way, land immediately adjacent to a road, highway, path, roadside. Being situated or found at or along the wayside. Well, that's what, yeah. If a person or plan fails by the wayside, I'm sorry, falls by the wayside, they fall or stop before they complete what they set out to do. Okay, so the seed didn't even make it into the area where the ground was. I'm trying to give you a good definition of the wayside. But so it didn't, the wayside is like over there. Here was the ground. So the word just kind of got thrown. And what happens when it's just thrown on the wayside is that the wind can come and literally just blow it. So any wind, think about it. If the seed is the word of God and it was thrown on the wayside, then that means anything that came up, a wind, you know, I mean, back then, this probably didn't happen, but you know, the street sweepers could have come, you know, the ones that just do the gutters, right? That could have come. And that would have, you know, those little things they turn like this, that could have been swept up and taken away. The water, when there was rain in a gutter, can just to wash all that down. The wayside is no side. It's like over there. It's not even near you. And that's where, and any wind of doctrine, anybody that comes in and starts kind of sounding like maybe it's God, you know, God's word, can literally take that away, can destroy that seed that was sown. What I love is it says, as he sowed, that means the word was sown, that some seed fell on the wayside. Now that's not all, but some fell on the wayside. So the seed, so God's seed, God's word was sown. Some stuck, some did not. Some got implanted into the ground in your heart. You see, the ground, the soil is your heart. What will you allow to live on in your heart? Some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. All right? So there was some, let's repeat this, some fell by the wayside, that's like over there, where the wind will just take it, or the birds, right? By the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. You know, we were just in Virginia, and there were these turkey buzzards everywhere when we were driving out, like by the country area. And wherever there was a dead animal, there was the buzzards, turkey buzzards. They're huge. We saw groundhogs too. It was so cool. But these guys were like huge. And every time, because our hotel was in this one area, we had to pass by this whole like green area to get to where we were going to. And every morning that we passed by, there were the turkey buzzards. They were eating anything that fell by the wayside. They were eating rabbits and anything that died, right? Another bird, they were just eating whatever they could, and they would all gather around. And that was pretty gross, but because all we saw was like flesh. And blah. Anyway, But some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air, the turkey buzzards, came and devoured it. Not just ate it. You know, I want to look up the word devour, because that's like a very strong word, right? He didn't just say ate it. He said devoured. Wow. Okay, let me see. Why is it not showing me devour? Okay. To swallow or eat up hungrily, voraciously, or ravenously. Oh, that is great. To consume destructively, recklessly, or wantonly. To engulf or swallow up, to take in greedily with the senses or intellect. To absorb or engross wholly. So when the birds of the air came and devoured it, they swallowed it hungrily, voraciously, ravenously. They consumed it destructively, recklessly, and wantonly. They knew what that was. They went after it. Who are the birds in your life? Who are the birds? Just leaving you with that. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Okay, so that same seed that the sower came to sow, the word of God that God sowed into your heart, that some fell by the wayside and some on stony ground. What is stony ground? What is it? Well, I would have to say the stony ground, like for instance, here in where I live, in our area, we don't have like nice soil. Our soil is very hard. It's like clay. And I mean, like right now I have a granite countertop. It'd be like trying to take a shovel and shovel into my granite countertop. It's very hard. Very, very hard. So that is like hard. Is that where your heart is? See, we got to be so careful. You know, our heart is made up of our spirit, soul, and body. Our heart has everything in it. That's why the word says to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart's flowing is going to flow the issues of life. So is our heart stony? Is it wayside? Is it, you know, what is it, soft? Is it pliable? Is it? I was going to say growable, but that doesn't make sense. What is your heart? What kind of heart do you have? You'll know it because here's one way to find out. If you're not able to love people, you got to check your heart. If you're not able to, and listen, if you're not able to pray for those who persecute you, revile against you, and say really evil things about you, got to check your heart. I know that our flesh is definitely a problem at times, but where is the position of your heart when the flesh gets in there? How do you change it? Yeah, just because your flesh is weak only because you've made the choice for it to be weak. That might really hurt somebody here, like, you know, wow, wait, what did she just say? Your flesh is weak because you've chosen to let your flesh be weak. What if you chose to say, no, flesh, you're not going to conquer me. You're not going to rule and reign over me. I refuse to. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide my heart into all truth. And the truth is what I will follow. He says it's the truth that makes us free. The truth that makes us free. And whoever the Son has set free is free indeed, not sometimes. Think about what I just said. Who the Son set free is free indeed, not in sometimes, not in times that are convenient. You are a free people, like I said in the beginning of this. You're a free person. You are a free person. Say that right now. I'm a free person. Say it. I'm a free woman. I'm a free man. So what kind of, I love that. Someone here said fertile. Yes, that is awesome. You're fertile ground. We all need to be fertile ground. Why? What does fertile mean? As a matter of fact, I'm going to not just tell you what I think fertile means. This is a lesson with dictionary.com. Bearing, producing, or capable of producing vegetation, crops, etc. abundantly. Bearing or capable of being of bearing offspring, abundantly productive, producing an abundance. Wow. Conducive to productiveness. I like that. Do you understand that? You are able to produce in abundance when your heart is fertile. That is so good. Thank you for putting that up there. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Fertile ground. Fertile. Not hard like the stone that I've got my laptop on right now. Hear this? That's hard. That's hard. That's granite. Can't get any harder than that. So what is the fabric of your heart? What's your heart made of? That's like everything, man, I'll tell you. Okay. So some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. Well, yeah, because the stone covered up the dirt, the earth. And the stone, it's like this, that this is your heart, right? That is not stony. That's like a heart that's soft and pliable and loving and is able to love and is able to be loved. And then you've got this hard shell on top of you, like my granite countertop. You got this hard shell. Ain't nothing getting into that heart. That's why the seed that was sown on the stony ground, it was just some fell on the stony ground. And what happened? It did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. There was no depth of the earth. Like the seed did not go down. You know, that's how plants grow. The seed goes down, the roots go down first, and then we see the plant start to arise, but it's only because the root went so far down and planted itself. We talked about that last week too as well, about like that anchor. So let's see, let's go to the next one. So now we're at 5. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. There was no depth to it. There was no depth to the heart because the heart was surrounded and encapsulated by the stony ground. But when the seed was up, I'm sorry, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, okay? And because it had no root, it withered away. So now think about it. Let's just use this beautiful candle. So, okay, the heart is in here, but it's encapsulated by, we'll just say stone. This is glass, but we're just going to say this is stone. Encapsulated by stone. So when the seed fell on the stony ground, when it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth. See, it didn't go in, it stayed on top. So it couldn't go down, but it sprang up. And when it sprang up, when the sun was up, it was scorched because it was this, you know, have you ever like, I know you've all done this, tried to fry an egg on like really hot ground. I was in, I think it was Iraq, and it was like 138, 140 degrees one day. And so we literally put an egg out on the sidewalk, and it became a fried egg, trust me. And so that was scorched, right? That definitely, I saw that in action. So now when I'm just going to use a dollar bill. This is kind of funny. So if this is the seed or the plant, so it like didn't go down. So it started to come up, but anything on ground, like stony ground, glass, whatever, granite, the sun is baking it. It's going to get scorched because the root system hasn't been developed and the roots are not getting any water or nutrients. Oh, that's so good. You got that? You got this? The roots did not go down where there was nutrients and there's water to feed the plant, the seed, whatever the seed is for. I mean, whatever. In this case, we know it's the word. But if Jesus was talking to them in agricultural terminology, because that's what they understood. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But what I love about that is that I have seen, sorry, that was that candle. I've seen a garden that just got swept away with thorns. And I have seen like, think about it. You've got thorns and all this and weeds and stuff. And the seed is getting dropped and sown, but it never even hits the earth, because it gets in with the thorns and all those thorny bushes, and it gets entangled and it's literally choked. The word is choked. What does that mean when something is choked? Well, we're going to look at dictionary.com again. I know you guys are so patient with me. I spelled it right. Okay. It is. Oh. Well, that's not it. That's not the right spelling. Let's see. Okay, well, for some reason, my dictionary.com. Well, it's not working. Anyway, whatever. Okay. So when something is choking you, I mean, you can put your hands around your neck right now. And, you know, I'm a martial artist. And so what we would do is we would choke people out. Right? Choking them out right here. You cut this off here. Ooh, you choke somebody there. It is bad, bad. Choked right here. When something is choked, that means it loses life. That means that the breath is being removed. The air is being removed. Life is being taken from it. Really, really bad. Bad. So how does the word get choked? How does it get choked? That's bad. What is it that chokes the word of God that is planted on the inside of you, that is rooted, that should be getting rooted so deeply on the inside of you? How does that happen? How does that happen? What is it that we believe? Because it's all about what you believe. It's all about what you believe. All of it. You know, it's what you have been taught and what you took in as truth. That is what changes everything for us. That's why when he's talking about all these, you know, how God sows the word no matter what. God sows the word no matter what. Hear me. God sows the word. His word is being sown into you every day. How are you receiving it? How are you taking it? Are you offended? Are you angry at life, people, whoever? Like, what is going on? Like, what's going on the inside of your heart that you're not able to receive the word the way that you should be receiving it, meaning that where it will plant itself and it'll grow? And this may not be everyone. Hey, listen, y'all might be like amazing. And I'm just reading what the word says, right? This isn't me telling you personally, like, you need to do this and you need to do that. And your heart is hard. And no, not at all. You know where you stand. I know where I stand. But what I'm telling you is that all of this here, all of it is depending on where your heart is. All of this, the seed being sown, he's giving us a lot of examples of what is happening when the seed, the truth, the word of God is sown into your life, into your heart, and your heart, the position of your heart is either is stony, you know, like this, with a soft heart on the inside. You know, a lot of times we want to be able to have a softer heart towards God. You know, a lot of people are mad at God. Unfortunately, a lot of people are pissed off at God. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. You can be, and you can go tell him you're mad, but the one that is the healer is not the one that you should be mad at. The one that's the healer is not the one to be mad at. I hope you hear that. I hear this all the time. All the time. That because a loved one didn't get healed, because this happened to me, or this happened to you, or this happened to your cousin, your mother, your father, whatever, that God allowed all this to happen, and therefore you're mad at him. You're disappointed in him. You can't believe that he would let this happen. You see, this is the problem. And then now something happens to you and you've gotten, you know, some kind of a sickness or something has attacked your body. How does the one that you're mad at going to get into your heart? You know, this is the, man, I'm telling you, this is the problem. Is that we are angry with God. We are mad at him. You know, anger is like an escalated mad at. I hear it all the time, and mainly because I get to pray with a lot of people all the time. So I don't know about you, but I get to hear from people just like you all the time. And so and this has not just been for the last couple months. This has been for years. And I hear some of the same things over and over and over again. And I sometimes get off the phone with people or off of a Zoom call, and I say, how are they going to trust the one that they're angry with right now? I don't know. There's nothing that I can say that's going to help that. Like, literally, nothing that I can say is going to help that. Nothing. So if you won't hear it from the word, why would you listen to me or somebody else on our platform or anybody in your neighborhood or your friend group or your church? Why would you listen to anybody? It's a heart issue. And this is the thing that we've got to reposition. This is the one thing that needs to be changed. And I mean this, the heart has to change. So if any of these things have, you know, spoken to you in any way, what I love is this one here. When it says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Are the thorns in your life the things that you're mad at God at? Are you mad at God, and these are the thorns in your life that choke it immediately? You know, when we've done, when I've been a prayer counselor, which I get to do that all the time in my own conferences and at Andrew Womack's conferences as well. And, you know, sometimes people will come to me with three or four different problems and they feel like God will only heal them of a couple, but not all. And I say, but why do you say that? Well, I don't know. I just feel like it's too much. Why? Who told you that? Where did you get limited? My God, if that would have been my position, I would not have been here teaching. I can tell you that for sure. I would not be here teaching. Because guess why? I would not have got an understanding of the Lord and gotten an understanding of my relationship with him. I wouldn't have had a relationship with him. I would not have had an intimate relationship. I would have had a head knowledge relationship, but it's got to get to your heart. That's what this is all about. What is in your heart? Is the word getting in your heart, or is it stopping right here? When it goes from your eyes to your brain, does it not get down into the heart? Yes, I'm loud, but I'm passionate. I'm not mad. You know that. That's my thing. I'm not mad. I'm just passionate. But it is so that when it gets to just the brain and it fell among the thorns and the thorns grew up and choked it and it yielded no crop, you're wondering, but I've said all these things and I've done all these things and I've read all these scriptures and I've prayed for hours and I have fasted and I've done this and that and I listened to that teaching and that teaching and this teaching and all the teachings. I've listened to everything. Why hasn't anything changed yet? When you're doing all of that, check your heart. Check your heart. Because out of your heart is flowing all the issues of life. You're saying that I've done all these things, right? It's like there's a checklist. There's no checklist with the Lord. Do you understand that? There's no checklist. There's no checklist. There's just, have you allowed him into your heart? Are you offended easily? Let me tell you something. Go look up the word offended and see if that is you, because offensiveness is what is killing believers. And believers should not be offended. Do you understand what I'm saying? Believers should not be offended. That's O-F-F-E-N-D. And I might be talking to somebody here, and I don't even know. This might be somebody here right now that's watching, or somebody in the future that's watching. But I'm talking to you as the body of Christ. If you're getting offended, you are missing out. The seed is going by the wayside. Your seed is getting scorched. Your seed is, the birds are destroying it and devouring it. That's what's happening to the word. It's not getting in the heart. So we just become this surface Christian, right? Only right here, this deep. Well, the seed needs to go down on the inside of you. That's where the root takes place. When you are hurt, when you are disappointed, and this is not just in God, but in people and all that, we tend to also shut the Lord out as well. It's not just, you think it's just being mad at that person or that situation, and they're the ones that are going to suffer from it. No, you're suffering from it. I guarantee you, you are suffering from it. Everybody thinks that it's all these things that we have to do. That is so interesting how we take everything as a doctrine. So-and-so said to fast. Okay, so I'm just going to fast and pray. I'm not saying you can't fast and pray. But remember when Jesus said that, this type only comes out through fasting and praying. Why? Because of the unbelief of the disciples. Not because of the person that was sick. He was not speaking to the person that was sick. He was speaking to the disciples who had a lot of unbelief and they didn't know what to do. This is not, you know, fasting is not a doctrine that you have to do. I believe this for me only. This is me, Julianne Hartman. This is not you. But I believe that the Lord will tell you when you need to fast. You know, a lot of people just do it by rote, right? You just do it. It's a habit. Don't do it out of habit. It's like when we sit down to read the word, don't just read the word out of habit. Sit down and read the word because you're going to get something amazing out of it. You're in an expectation of great things happening. That's why we sit down and read the word. Not just to say, well, I read through the whole Bible 5 or 6 times this month. Who cares? Go do it. That does, if your life better reflect it then. I hope your life reflects it. But, you know, there's nothing wrong in taking a scripture or like this Matthew 13:1-9, Mark 4:1-20, and Luke 8:4-15. Yeah. There's no reason why you take that. It's the same parable and meditate on it. That's what I do. That way you get an understanding of that scripture and not just, you know, going on Instagram and telling people that you've read through the Bible 25 times this year. Great. Does that make you a super Christian? No, not at all. In fact, yeah, that's really great. You're a good theologian. Couldn't get that out. You're a great theologian. I want to see now what you do with that word. That's what, at the end of the day, that's what matters the most. What do you do with this word? What do you do with the fact that you know everything? You know, I get that a lot when I'm a prayer counselor. I know it all. I know that God, Jesus is the healer. I know all of it. Well, then why did you come to my line? You know it all. Stand on it. But see, Christians got these attitudes at times, and I'm only talking to Christians right now. So just listen, Christians, and hope that that's not you. But we have to stop this being offended at everything. And it's very easy to get offended. Very easy to get offended. The devil knows that is, man, that is a weapon that he uses against you. And it will prosper when you receive it and you take it in as your own. Do you hear what I'm saying? That is a weapon, offensiveness. And that will mess you up. That'll take you away from the Lord. That'll take you away from the blessings of the Lord. What's what it's meant to do? You know, God doesn't want, he doesn't want you. The devil doesn't want you. He wants the word out of you. He wins when the word is stolen from you, just like the birds devoured it. He wins when he devours you. God does not want that to happen. All God can do, he can't make you not be offended. He can't make you not be disappointed. But you have that, a power on the inside of you to decide not to be offended, not to be disappointed. Not to be disgruntled for what injustice happened to you. My God, this world is turning upside down crazy right now, and everybody's getting canceled. You will too at some point. You might already be. You might already be. So are you offended? Are you hurt? Did your feelings get hurt? Well, I'm sure that most of us have gotten our feelings hurt many times, but let it go. Give that care to the Lord. He says to cast your care unto me, for I care for you. Cast it. Throw it as far away from you as possible. Like take it, like literally, and throw it as far as you can to get that care away from you. The care has claws. And it's trying to get in and steal everything from you. It's trying to get its claws around your heart to make it stony. Remember, there's the heart, there's the softness. Here's the stone around that heart. And all those emotions are the very thing that causes that stony ground, that causes the heart not to accept and receive what Jesus died for us to have. You know, the last thing I'm going to say is this. Jesus had every reason to be offended, every reason to be offended of what they did to him. We have not experienced anything like what Jesus went through, yet he was not offended. As a matter of fact, he said to us, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." That is the best place to be in, is in forgiveness. In forgiveness. You know, there's people that come on here that say really crazy things and disagree and all of that, and will say mean things in comments. I don't care. Say what you want. Go, if you feel that you want to go write all that stuff, you know what? It doesn't hurt me and it doesn't hurt our teachers. You know what it does? It puts a hardened heart on you. And I'm just saying, using that as an example. What it does is it puts it on you. It makes you angry. It makes you sad. It makes you disappointed. It makes you be offended. So there's our part that we play, like literally. We play a big part in this. You just can't throw everything onto the Lord, meaning that you can't throw it all on him for him to do for you. He's already done everything that he's going to do, has done. It's up to us to take it and to not allow the craziness of this world, the deceitfulness of this world, and all the stuff that goes along with it. It's up to us to say no. You know, I'd love to say that there's this bulletproof glass around us and we're untouchable. In the natural, we're not, but in the spiritual realm, we are. So if you can get that, but if you are in your natural carnal mind getting hurt by everybody that says something that you don't like, guess what? You don't have the bulletproof glass. You've opened up your heart for anything to come and destroy it. Stop doing that. As a matter of fact, I want to read right now. I want to give you the definition of offense or offended. We'll do that. Offend. My dictionary thing is acting really strange. To irritate, annoy, anger, cause, being resentful, displeasure. To violate or transgress, to hurt or cause pain, to cause resentful, displeasure, irritate, annoy, or anger. Why do you want this? Why would you want it? Why would you? Seriously, why would you want to live with all of that? Because that's what happens when we do. And then what happens is that, you know, someone gets a diagnosis and now we're going, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to call everybody and forgive them. I'm just going to leave it right there. I'm going to call everybody and forgive them. Because why? Do you really mean it? Are you doing it because someone told you that if you don't forgive, you won't receive healing? It's that surface stuff. What I'm talking about is, where is your heart? What is the position of your heart? Start now. Don't wait till you get a bad report to start changing your heart. Start today. Okay, I love you guys, and I will see you next time.
We hope you got some great nuggets of wisdom out of that teaching. Thank you for listening to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. And don't forget, you can find us live on Facebook and YouTube 7 days a week. If you would like to donate, please go to www.healingjourneystoday.com. Isaiah 53:5 says, "And by His stripes, we are healed." God bless you.